Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we receive all that you would give to us today. You know, the Lord said to me once, we were at Bristol, as in the middle of preaching, and he said, my people often know how to give, they're good givers, but they don't always know how to receive. And when we were in Colorado, the Lord told me to have a receiving meeting. And I said, that's a strange thing to call it. And he said, there's so much that I want my children to receive that I have already purchased. I have already purchased. And when something is a gift, you don't need to earn it. It's free. You do have to pick it up. And you have to open yourself to receive it. And you know what I think our issue is? We're measuring ourselves. Still trying to push the gift through a filter of, am I good enough? And that's a false filter when Jesus has already purchased something for you, isn't it? So Father, we ask you today that we will freely receive. I saw this mighty river and it was washing away all this debris. And I don't know who this is for. But I saw that someone in here, you've been through what I would call devastation. Things in life happened that were just more than you could handle. And it reminds me of when there's a natural catastrophe, there's often debris that's just kind of left over. And I saw this river of God just sweeping it away. And the Lord saying, I will renew, I will strengthen, I will rebuild your life. There's someone here, you feel like the whole house of your life fell down. Lord says, I am rebuilding. I'm in the process of it, though you may not know it. Some of you have had devastation in your home. He says, I'm rebuilding and restructuring. Someone starting new. saw runners, like at the starting thing where they have their hands down by the blocks. And I heard the gun go off and they took off. Said it's a new race. Let's forget last week's race.
Yeah.
Forgetting those things which are behind, he's saying. A new race. Forget everything that happened in the last race. But keep your eye on the prize. So I feel like this time, you know, the last race, whether you won or lost, whether you failed or not, doesn't matter. I feel like that was all training. That was just preparation. That wasn't even the race. That was just preparation. That was training. And all of us bungle it in the training, but that's how you learn, isn't it? I said, all of us bungle it in the training, that's how you learn. Someone recently started a business and Satan's tried to tell you that, you know, it's not the right timing and what if this and what if that. Satan's trying to make you feel like maybe I shouldn't have done this, maybe I shouldn't have stepped out. But I felt like the Lord is saying, I will honor you, I will help you. You can't do it alone, but keep me involved. Keep me involved in your decisions. Because if I'm the chairman of the board, it can't fail, can it? Often seeing pictures, and I'm actually seeing an office door, and it says chairman of the board, and I see you knocking on that door saying, can we talk? Can I get your advice on this decision I'm making? The Lord says, if you keep me in the loop, then I can prosper you. But if you keep me out of the loop, I cannot prosper you. He says, because you see, I want to own the business. I want to run it. I want to help you. But you have to understand who's who. Like, you're the prez, but I'm the chairman. And it's our company. Someone's eyes are getting healed. This is strange looking. What I'm seeing is from the back, which usually means like the optic nerves or possibly the pressure. I'm hearing macular degeneration. Your eyes are being restored. And Father, I ask for 100% restoration of the eyes, even night vision to be clarified. Actually, I'm seeing a healing in the back of the head as well. I don't know if it's the same person or a different person. Someone here, you've had a door closed to you for many years. And I see that door opening. And it's because you surrendered something last week. You surrendered something to God that you've been holding on to and trying to make it work, trying to make it happen. But something happened to you last week and you released control. And it has caused this great door to swing slowly open. Door. It's not just a little door, it's like a big granite door the size of, bigger than a garage door and about a foot thick, and it's been locked for years. Doors are opening all over. Open, open, doors are opening wide unto you. Because you released control. You know, control is an enemy. Because it's saying, I want to be God. You're not. We're not. Control is idolatry, isn't it? It's saying, I know more than God. But we don't.
So as we release control, as we release control, situations we'll find open doors there for us as we release.
Release. Stop trying to drive the thing. Let God drive. There's someone here, not everyone, where He wants to say, for once in your life, would you let me drive? I love you. You'll find if you let me drive that I know a shortcut. You're trying the long, hard way, but He says, I've been down this road before. And coming through these doorways. There's things that some of you have been praying about for 20 years. Some of you have prayed for years for something. It has to do with family, has to do with stuff in the family. but you've prayed in a way that you've still had kind of a hold of it, and I saw this release, like you're saying, God, I'm giving this to you, I'm giving my family to you, I'm giving this situation, I'm stopping trying to be the one to fix it. I'm not carrying this anymore. I'm giving it to you. You deal with it or not. And I saw because of that, not only did these doors open, but angels were dispatched to work on situations. And I feel like somebody's still not getting it. You're saying, why now? Why finally now? Because you finally gave it to him. And if you didn't, do. Seeing a treasure chest by the throne. I saw a person here, you came to kneel before the Lord. And your eyes were on him, not on the treasure chest. Your eyes were on him. And he said, my child, pick out a treasure. I've never seen him say, I've seen this treasure chest before, but I'd never seen or heard him say that. It was like, because your eyes were on him and not the treasure. He said, child, pick out a treasure. I see an evangelist getting released in your calling. I saw the wind of God hit you. God is preparing you with the wind of God. And this person, you've never thought of yourself as an evangelist, but God is putting an evangelist mantle on you where it will be very easy. A real evangelist, it's often very easy for them to win souls. I don't fully understand all the things that I see, but I see someone receiving a crown, and that might sound strange. But this person that was receiving it has been downtrodden, it seems like, your whole life. You've always been downcast, downtrodden. You've never thought well of yourself, and you've always wondered, will I ever make it? Will I ever be able to make it? But the Lord looks at you differently than you look at yourself. And I saw him look at you, and he had great compassion, and he said, you didn't get a fair shake, for one thing. The devil tried to tell you for years that you were less, when that's not what I said. And you walked down the road, and it seemed like you were downtrodden and discouraged. But I saw Jesus say, get the robe. Get the robe. Thank you. from this day, this person I'm talking to, and I'm not going to point you out, but from this day, you will not speak evil of yourself. God, gently tearing off all the labels and lies, the clothes, the attachments, the signs people tried to stick on you. Said that is not who you are, and that's not what I say, and I'm removing from you the stigma. There was a stigma that even as a kid, and God said no more. I'm not allowing it anymore. I'm not allowing people to speak that way of you, and I'm not allowing you to speak that way of you. For you, it is a new day. You are a new creation. You to say, I am a new creation. I'm not who people said I was. I'm not even who I said I was. I'm who God says I am. And from this day, I will accept no other. In Jesus' name. There's someone here, you were actually called, the word garbage was used when you were young. The word garbage was used. And I saw God fuming at the devil, fuming mad. I've never seen him this mad. He said, that was a lie from the pit, but I saw the damage it did to your soul. God said, never again will you listen to or adhere to or follow that lie. Never again. I saw the Lord, you know how you take a needle to dig out a splinter? I saw the Lord digging that thing out. It is a lie that has been in your soul, and because of it, you've taken verbal abuse when you had no business taking it. Because of it, you've accepted lies from the enemy that were not true. And God said, no more. There'll be no place for that thing to rest. I'm taking that out. I saw you know how sometimes if a mirror is warped, we can look in it and see distortion. And I saw the Lord take away one of those warped mirrors. He took it away. And in its place, he brought truth and a true mirror. He said, no more ever again will you see yourself in that lying light. Not true. I'm releasing you. And as I said the words, I'm releasing you, I saw, like, it looked like grave clothes, but it was like a tape coming off from where we had been bound for years by these lies. Because someone that you looked up to and respected spoke, you know, they didn't know any better. And sometimes people just, they don't know any better. They say things they don't mean, that aren't true. And they know they're not true, but if you're a kid, you don't know it. And I saw some of these things just being unraveled and coming off permanently. You will never look at life the same way. You will never look at yourself that same way. Somebody's getting a brain healing, a physical brain. Your brain is physically being healed. You know, a lot of things can impact the physical brain, you know. Extreme duress can actually impact your physical brain. Did you know that? Extreme duress, extreme stress. Certain types of drugs can affect the brain. Going through too much for too long. Scientists have proven it, but God, we've seen again and again, God can restore it in a moment, in a second, in a twinkling of an eye. And I see Him restoring. So I'm restoring correct neural connections. Certain connections had been broken, so it was hard for you to retain things, someone in here. You've struggled with memory and retention, and even thinking straight. You try to think a certain way, but you couldn't hold on to it. That that's being restored to you. And I heard the Lord say, better than before. Seeing that river again with more debris floating down. I saw someone and you've held on to your past, and I saw in your right hand, it's like you had this old rope. You were holding on to this rope and it was attached to your past, and you were afraid to let go because you didn't know how to do life any other way. You didn't know how to do life any other way. That's all you've ever known. How would you know? How could you know any other way? And I saw Jesus so gently come up and touch your shoulder and say, it's okay, child. It's okay, you can trust me. I'm not going to leave you alone in this. You're not doing life alone. I'm going to do it with you. Every step, I'm going to help you, I'm going to teach you. But I want you to let go of that rope that holds your past. And it's like the sense I had was it's been a scary thing to let go of the way your family always did it, because you don't know any other way. But their way has continually failed, to be honest. It hasn't worked well, has it? And the Lord loves you and He loves your family, but He's saying, I want to teach you the way my family does it. Okay? But for me to do that, I need you to let go. And I need you to turn away from the past and say, okay, Jesus, I don't get it, but I will trust you that you're going to teach me. I saw someone's heart, and I saw much pain that's been held there for much too long, and I saw it just draining out, the pain, and it was sorrow, but it was also pain from things people have said and done. I don't know what it means yet, but I saw the coronation of a king. There's someone here, you've been hidden for many years and you've known. That there was something you were called to do, but no one ever seemed to know it or recognize it. And I saw a curtain open, and the Lord was saying, time is here. And he will announce, and it's not, you know, he only glorifies himself, but I saw him announcing who you finally were, and people were able to see for the first time, oh, I see it. I see it. I get it. Your calling is being revealed. That's what's happening. Your calling is being revealed. That has been long hidden, long time hidden. It's very common when you're called that people for years won't understand what you're talking about. They don't see it. They don't understand it because it's in you. It's hidden in you. It's being developed. But only God can reveal it, and only in His time. And you will glorify Jesus with your calling. You will glorify Jesus with your gifting. You will bring glory to Him. And I saw that with the position He gives you, there will be a grace to always put Him first, to think of what's best for Him, what's best for His kingdom. I saw a special grace come on you to always point the way to Jesus and never take the credit. Never take the credit. Never take the credit. Never take the credit. God is allowing some of you who have never had a heavenly encounter are going to begin to encounter heaven. I release you. A true heavenly encounter always lines up with the Word. It's always protected by the King. And it always brings glory to Jesus. I saw someone being taken into the library, my favorite place, one of my favorite places. People in here, you're seeing your calling right now. I heard an eagle scream. I saw vast wings of an eagle just open up and take flight. I've known for a long time that you had the prophetic in you, but I saw the wings open and I heard the scream of an eagle. Some of you will deliver messages in due season. You know, it says a word in due season. You know, the season is as important as the word. The timing, get the timing right. Some of you will have a word that will actually turn the course of events. Some of you will have a word that in due season will actually turn the course of events for a church. A ministry, a person in business. I see some of you even being put in positions of authority to speak the word of the Lord. Sometimes you'll receive the word of the Lord, but be careful not to speak it before it's time. You may hold it sometimes days. You may hold it. It'll rumble around in you. You'll have a little bit of uncomfortableness because you're carrying this thing in your belly. And when it's due season, you deliver it, and it changes the course of events. Some of you are being put in positions of authority. I saw the Lord touching someone's knees. Saw someone, I don't know if this is someone in the room or someone in your family, but I saw liver disease, some sort of liver disease being healed. We release the healing power of Jesus. You know, it's free. We need to just receive it freely because He already bought and paid for it. Someone here, there's been mental health issues in your family. I think generationally, many generations you've had, there's been issues in your family, and even some of your, I believe, siblings have some issues. And the Lord said it stops here. Like I see it stopping at your generation. God wants it stopped. He wants to redeem your family from your generation onward. He's reminding me that while we were early in worship, I saw like a heart beating really, really fast, like palpitations or AFib maybe, like really, really fast. And I heard him say, "Peace, be still, peace, 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 peace." Just kind of waiting to make sure I get everything that we're supposed to do. I see the Lord calling people out into groups, and it has to do with the calling with which you're called. Like soldiers lining up in different lines to go do different assignments is what it looked like. And certain people were going to go minister to the lost. Certain people were going to go minister to the sick. Certain people were going to speak prophetic words. I saw different lines of soldiers doing different things. I'm just going to have you say, even though you may already know your calling and gifting, I'm going to have you say, "I receive my calling. I receive my papers from God." There's one person in here, you said, "Well, I don't feel like I'm good enough." We weren't even good enough to be saved. You know, we have nothing to offer. He didn't save us because we were good enough. He saved us because we weren't. And he doesn't use us because we're good enough either, does he? He uses us anyway. And that's his goodness. So, Father, we receive. Lord, teach us to receive all that you have for us. Just seeing a wind blowing in heaven, like I'm just sensing such a season of change, the winds of change, so very strong in this season. I'm just sensing it, like the body of Christ, God is having us turn a corner whosoever will. There will be some who will just keep plowing straight ahead, but there will be a remnant of people who say, "I don't care where you go, I'm going, Lord. If you turn, I'm turning. If you stop, I'm stopping." Wherever that pillar of fire goes, wherever that pillar of cloud goes, I'm going. When it stops, I'm stopping. And I don't know about you, I want to be so close to him that I'm kind of in that. I want to be in the pillar of cloud. I want to be in it. Because that's the safest place. Nothing can happen to you there. When you're in him, it's total safety at all times. Lori and I have been talking a lot about this. Some of you heard me share this vision before, but it's becoming much more alive right now. Years ago, I had a vision. I was in a prayer meeting with friends, and I saw, it was as though suddenly we're up, just having so much fun. We were up inside a tornado. In this tornado, we weren't even aware we were in a storm. We were just fellowshipping. We were having fun, goofing around. We were, you know, like drinking tea and just enjoying each other, fellowshipping. And then we looked down and we realized that we were in this funnel cloud that was massive, and the tail of it, I don't know what you call the piece at the bottom, was doing mass destruction. There was all kinds of destruction going on, but we were oblivious. We were just having a gay old time. We were having a great time. And this was probably at least, well, I know for a fact it was at least 20 years ago when I saw that. But what God's saying is there's a place in him where you're not even aware there is a storm. I said there's a place in him where you're not even aware there is a storm. And it can't touch you because you're in him. And part of that was, later on I said, I saw lots of destruction when I looked down, you know, when I was in this vision and I looked down. I saw this tornado destroying many buildings. I mean, just like they were nothing, just destroyed. And I said, "What was that?" And he said, "That is those are the buildings or the religion that man has built trying to do Christianity." And I think we're starting to see some of that, aren't we? Where some of that stuff is falling apart. Because it isn't really, you know, it can't stand. It's like the house that was built on sand. And it doesn't say that the house that was built on sand was a non-Christian. It says it's so those who hear the word of God, but they don't do what he said. They heard it, but they didn't go and do it. And so their house, the same storm hit both of those houses. Same storm, you know. says the rains came, the wind came, the flood descended in the first house because it was built on sand. Great was its fall. Great was its destruction. You know, and it didn't say they were non-Christians. It said they didn't do what the word says. But the other house, he said, someone who hears my word and does it, that's like somebody who builds their house on the rock. Same wind, same rain, same flood. But that house, it's not moved at all, is it? It's unmoved. Because it's steadfast, immovable, because it's built on the rock. And what is the rock? It's Jesus, who is the Word of God. Right? And so it isn't just what we say we believe, it's what we do with what we believe. How we process that, how we live our life. You know, I used to be a person who read the word in all the wrong ways. You know, I think I was doing it. You know, I just was so dumb. Getting smarter, hallelujah, but still working on it. But I think I read it because I thought it was, you're a Christian, you're supposed to do it. It was like this duty thing. I wasn't getting anything out of it because I was doing it as a religious duty. And occasionally I got something, but I just didn't understand having a relationship with the Word of God. Sitting at the feet of Jesus by sitting at the feet of the Word. The Word is actually alive. Do you know that a scripture spoken by the Spirit through the mouth of a believer is alive? It's a living power. You know, one sentence spoken by the Spirit through the mouth of a believer is the same as God saying it. And so we need to become people who, first of all, know what it says and hang out in the Holy Ghost, because He'll give a word to release and the thing will just be done in one sentence. And it's not because we're anybody, it's not because our gifting or calling, it's because the Word of God is alive. And God wants to raise up a people who are walking in power. Not because they're so great or they have this great calling, but because they get how it works. They understand how the Word works, how the Word is in them. You know, the Word, when it comes in you, it's actually alive. And when the Word of God comes in you and remains there, it if you allow it to kind of churn like butter, you know, you meditate on it, you think about it, you know, you ponder it. It becomes a living revelation to you. Whereas when you first heard it, you might have just said, you know, amen. And you might have believed it in your head, yeah. That kind of faith. But there's a deeper thing that can go on where that word becomes kind of who you are. There's some scriptures that can become how you do things, how you identify. One of our biggest problems is we've identified with some of the junk the devil said and believed it and began to see, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he, or so does he become. Above all things, the Bible says, guard your heart, for out of it flow the issues of life. Out of the abundance of heart, the mouth speaks. That's right. Out of the abundance of the heart comes the issues of life. So if we don't have that renewed properly, and we're still believing the junk that the enemy tried to stick on us, you know, that the devil is a nervous Nelly. He knows, I don't know how he knows, but I have seen, he knows before a person gets saved that they're going to get saved and they have a calling. And the reason I know this is Edgar, the devil tried to kill him 11 times when he was a child. He didn't get saved till he was in his 50s. But the devil tried crazy, crazy ways to kill him because the devil knew. I don't know how. I don't get that part. I'm just telling you it's true.
Yeah.
And so the devil tries to take people out. If he can't take you out, then he'll try to get you to take a false identity. He'll try to get you to accept. You know, I was praying with someone a few months ago, and God gave me this picture that it's a picture in the spirit, okay? So you have to think not in the natural. But the picture was that at birth, their birth certificate was stolen, which had their fingerprints on it. And Satan stuck in there this fake certificate with fake prints and a fake ID, fake name. And so all they ever knew was this lying identity that wasn't true. And God was saying, I found your real birth certificate. That's not who you are. This is who you are. And you know, that people can get into an actual, there's actually a spirit of self-hatred. Did you know that? I never knew it, but there is. There's a spirit that people can actually get involved in hating or despising themselves because they have believed a lie. I'm talking to somebody. It's a lie. It's not true. And the way we know it's not true is it's not what the Word says about you. And for us to believe the devil's lie is to believe, if we take his lie as truth, then what we've done is we've taken God's Word and said, well, that's a lie. I'm not really fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm not really accepted in the Beloved. God doesn't really love me the way he says. So what we're doing, and I know because I did it, I used to do it, is we've called God a liar and the devil the truth teller. That's what we've done. See how important it is that we have to say no more, no more, no more. We have to, because you know who gets to control this? You do. No one else can make the decision for you. You have been given complete authority and autonomy over how to steward your body, mind, soul, and spirit, and nobody else can do it for you. So I can shake you and tell you that you have this new identification, but at some point you have to say, you know what, I'm not going to believe that anymore. I had a spirit of failure, depression, follow me like a dog every morning, noon, and night for some years. And you know what? That thing followed me until one day I said, I am not going to believe that anymore. My God has told me. I knew God had told me I was called to do something. And I knew it in my guts. You can't shake that. You can't make it go away. And yet I believed I was a terrible failure at it. You know, it was like this nagging thing. And I remember thinking at some point, as they say, my lightning fast mind finally said, you know what? If God has said he's called me to do it, he is smarter than I am. If he called me to do it, then he's going to make me able to do it. So it was like it began to dawn on me, I need to say to the devil, shut up and sit down. If God has told me I'm going to do this, is I'm going to do it. And I'm going to do it only by his grace, but I'm still going to do it. And no devil's going to be able to stop it because it's God, not me. If it was me, well, I might fail. But it's not me, it's him. You got an argument, take it to him. We have to begin to say, no more, devil. No more will I accept the lie. Some of you in here are dealing, you deal with rejection, you feel like, you know, and it comes from how we were treated, how we were spoken to, the stuff we've lived through. Everybody's had hard knocks, everybody. There's not one person that hasn't been hurt, disappointed, suffered grief, loss, been abused in one way or another, and some worse than others, I'll grant you that, but there's not a living human that I know of that hasn't taken some hits. And so what I discovered, though, is the hits aren't where we get strongholds. It's our response. And what I mean by that is if you took two little children and they both suffered the same abuse, if you watch those two little children, one will become an introvert and go hide. They'll hide away. And they'll just say, I'm done with people, I'm just going to hide forever. The other kid will get belligerent and mean, I'll get you before you get me. You see it? So no two of us respond the same way, but because of our response, sometimes we allow a stronghold. You hear me? We allow it. So you can't say, well, this happened to me. I know it happened to you, it happened to me too. I was a basket case when God found me. And all kinds of junk happened. So I don't want to minimize what happened or say we don't have compassion. I get that. I get pain. I know about pain. I do. But what I found is we can live in the pain forever, or at some point say, I am so done with that. It happened. I'm going to have my cry. I'm going to go to the Lord. He's my counselor. But I'm walking out of this. I'm going to tell the devil I'm drawing a line. No more are you going to tell me that I'm junk. No more are you going to tell me I'm a failure. No more are you going to tell me that I have this false identity, because it's not mine. That's yours, by the way, not mine. You're the loser. You're the failure, devil, not me. Oh, no. And you can take him right to the Word. And you can show him all the stuff that God says about you. You were made to rule and reign. You were made to ride upon the heights. You were made to rule with him. Know ye not that you will judge the angels? Come on, there's all kinds of stuff said about you. And the problem is we say, well, it doesn't mean me, because of the lie. It does mean you. He said, it does mean you. If it's written and you're born again, it means you. There is no exception. And if there was an exception, again, you'd be calling God a liar, because he said he is not a respecter of persons. What he did for all. If you're born again, he has said, you are a new creation. I don't care what they said about you before. I don't care how bad you blew it before. If you're truly born again, you are a new creation. And he's saying, God is saying, I'm the only one who knows the real you. People do not know the real you. Nobody can judge you. Nobody. Because they don't even get it. They don't know who you are in the spirit. They've not seen your spirit. They've not seen the power that's in you. They've not seen the light of God that's in you. They've not seen the gifting and calling that's in you. Unless they asked me and I revealed it. And even then, they only see in part. Nobody knows the real you except me, he's saying. So why do you let people define you, even from the past? And I just have to do this, because someone here has been hurting for years, and it's time to end it. I'm going to have you say, nobody defines me but God. Nobody defines me but what God says about me. I'm going to stop believing the lies of the devil. I'm going to refuse it. I'm going to stand in the Word. I'm going to announce to the devil who I am. I'm not going to apologize for it. God has made me. God has called me. And God has given me an identity that is being revealed. And it is glorious. And it is the truth. In Jesus' name. Now, the reason I make you say that is that's a legal transaction where you're literally turning from the lie to the truth. And you just slammed the door in the devil's face and opened the door to the realms of God. Legally, in the spirit, that's what just happened. Because, see, I can't say it for you because you've been given the authority in your life. Right? But if I can get you to say it and mean it, then there's a transaction that happens where the devil gets a slam in the face. And if you'll stand your ground, you'll never have to go down that dark road again. You'll never have to go down the road again. And if somebody says something to you and it's not right, you can lovingly say, you know what, I love you and I respect you, but that's not true. You hear me? Someone says something to you that's disrespectful, you can be kind, but say, you know what, that's not true. Love you, but that's not true. That's not who I am. God defines me. I'm not going down that road anymore. Right? We can say it. And we can be kind about it. And if you can't say it to him, let's say you're at work and it's your boss. Hallelujah. You just go in the other room and say, yeah, that's not true. I just counter that with the Word of God. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm accepted in the Beloved. I'm going somewhere to happen and nobody's going to stop me. And see, God actually wants you to do that, because what you're doing then is guarding your heart. People will never see, really. Listen, I'm just going to tell you. The vast majority of people, including the church, look in the natural and judge according to the natural. Okay? Meaning they look, how you speak, what you say, what you said, what you did. And they judge according to that. They don't see who you are, and you don't see who they are. Okay? And for too long, the church has been judging each other after the flesh. But you know, the Bible says that the apostles sought to know each other after the Spirit. They sought to know Like, think about it. They could have blown Peter off. You renounced Jesus Christ. They could have said, I ain't going fishing with you, buster. I'm not going anywhere with you. You renounce Jesus. I'm done with you forever. But they knew his heart. They saw who he was after the Spirit. And we need to be doing that a little bit more. We need to see each other after the Spirit instead of all this outward junk that doesn't even matter. We all have issues. And until we're set free from our issues are going to show once in a while. I have a friend that says your underwear is showing. hey, we all have issues, right? And hopefully as we get older in Christ, we get more and more free and more and more free and more and more free. But that doesn't mean there you're not going to have a day where your underwear shows. I mean, it doesn't mean you're going to have a moment, right? Everybody has a moment. But we need to look past that and just see each other. You know, what if you could see in the Spirit? And what if that person at church that just grinds you, you know, that one, what if you could see who that person really is in the Spirit? Because, see, those faults aren't in the Spirit, are they? Because the born-again Spirit is created after the image of His holiness, the Bible says. Oh, yes, it is. But the flesh is what you're seeing, right? They're still working on it, or in some cases, not working on it. But if they're born again, what's in them is holy. See, this is a big thing for me. You know, everybody's calling is different, but part of my calling is to try to see people for who they really are and help them become who they are. Do you know what I'm saying? Help people become who they really are and not all this stuff that was put on them. And so it's really important that we see, if we don't know who we are, how shall we find out? How shall we know who am I and why am I here on the earth? Who am I really? What am I doing here? You know, some people don't think this way. I can't not think this way. It's called obsessive. I can't go through a day and not actively be trying to figure out what I'm here to do and make sure I do it. Because nothing else really matters in the end to me. It's not going to matter what kind of house I lived in, what kind of car I drove. Did so-and-so like me? That's not going to matter. What's going to matter is, did I do what you put me here to do? Was I able to pull it off? Did I do what you put me here to do? Or did I bungle it? And so, for me, it's important. And so God has put something in each of us that's hidden. What is it? It's a treasure in a kind of an earthen vessel. Mud, right? Mud and clay doesn't always look so good, doesn't always say the right thing, doesn't always look right, doesn't always have good hair day. But inside, there's a treasure. And this is what I think. If we could begin to see each other according to the treasure and look past the stuff, and sometimes it's hard, I'll admit it, sometimes it's hard, and sometimes, you know, somebody's issue will kind of mess with our issue. Right? I'm telling you the truth. You know I'm telling you the truth. But what if we could grow to a place where we could not react that way and begin to see them for what's on the inside and try to nurture that a little bit? Right? Jesus said, if you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Think about Jesus. Think about him at 5 years old. His brother's picking on him. 10 years old, brother's picking on him. Don't send a guy. You're the one that wants to come. Are you going to the feast, Jesus? Come on, it's time to go to the feast. You know, right? It says they said that because they didn't really believe it yet. They did later, but they didn't then. They're giving him grief. He's just smiling. Maybe later. I don't think so. He says he's not going, but then he goes. Right? Did you ever notice that? To put up with all kinds of people who just don't get it. And aren't we like that too? Sure, we have stuff in us and people have no idea in the world. But don't waste those years. Those are preparation years while you are still hidden, of being made ready for God to reveal, like you talked about tonight. And sometimes that takes many years. But when the fulfillment, and it's not because it takes years, it's because it could take less years or more years, depending how willing we are to change. Okay? God's calendar isn't some set date that he says, on this day, I will do this for you. Nope. That day will move in or out, depending on your getting it or not getting it. Right? If you're stubborn and you refuse, and God says, I want you to change this, I'm good the way I am. Okay, well, out it goes. I need you to repent of your crummy attitude towards that person. Well, I know, I, you know what? You don't know what they did to me. Yeah, well, you don't know what they did to me, he says. Hallelujah. Take that. See, stubbornness, right? Rebellion, it hides. It's we think that's this big obvious thing. Listen, stubbornness and rebellion can be hidden as a small thing, but it can cost you years. Yeah. But if we can deal with our stuff, stop trying to fix everybody else's stuff. Deal with your stuff. I'm dealing with my stuff. Let's deal with our stuff. And, you know, I'm actually proactively always asking God, you know, confront me. Get in my face. And he does. Very thrilling. But it's okay. I want that because I want to deal with it because I don't want to waste my life. I don't want to waste 18 years and say, oh, if I just would have dealt with that attitude, I could have been changed sooner. I could have carried the thing sooner. Come on. Is anybody here? This is huge. The more willing, the more pliable we are, you know, and ready to say, listen, I need to change. The quicker we can move in what we know. If you're saying, I don't understand why nobody sees my calling, I don't understand it, because God himself has hidden it. And God himself has hidden it because even though you're calling, you're gifting. A gifting is a gift. You don't do anything. It's free. It's a gift. That's why it's called a gift. It's in you from day one. Does that mean you're ready? Absolutely not. The gift is ready, but you ain't. And I know because it took me 40 years to get here. I mean, literally. There was stuff God told me in my 20s that I'm only just now being allowed to do. In my 20s, I'm 63. That's a sad state of affairs. And he would gradually allow more and more. Gradually. But there's thing more and more being revealed as I'm able to walk through certain doorways. Can you understand that? There's doorways that you're to walk through in heaven and nobody can do it for you. Okay? And so if you wonder why you're in wait state and you're looking at it like the ball's in God's court, it's not. There's good news. The ball is in our court the vast majority of the time. I won't say there's never a time, but the vast majority of the time that we're looking to God to do something, why doesn't he do it? I'm waiting. Tell me when it's time, I used to say. He's thinking, yeah, whenever you're ready, it'll be time. Hallelujah. He was waiting on me. And he was gentle and he was kind and he was patient and he wasn't mad. But the ball was in my court. And I remember in my 20s being every bit as prophetic as I am. I mean, I was prophetic and accurate. And people were getting healed. And I was sitting in a church for 10 years where I knew I would never, ever, 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 ever be allowed to preach. And they didn't have a clue in the world that I had any calling, and I used to think, why can't they see it? They couldn't see it because God himself was hiding it, because I wasn't ready. We have to be converted. That's different than born again, okay? We have to be changed. That's different than being born again. When you're born again, your spirit is completely made new. You get a brand new, perfect, holy, wonderful spirit made in the image of God, has the righteousness of Jesus. But our outer man, our soul, which is where all the mess is, right? All the memories, all the junk we've believed, all the inner vows we made, all the lies we believed that reject, all the strongholds, all the stuff, that has to be contended with and changed, right? And a lot of times we point the finger at another person and say, you really need to deal with that. But listen, we have to be really careful, and there's not a beam in my own eye. And I'm trying to get a splinter out of theirs, and I got this beam, and every time I turn my head, I'm whacking them, you know. Right? We have to be very careful of that, because how can we help them if we've still got stuff, right? And I don't even want to go here, but I feel like God wants to go here. Sometimes with marriage, we're all about getting each other fixed. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes we need to be more graceful. We need to be more graceful about it. You know, the first thing we need to do, if you have a spouse, everybody's got issues. Everybody. So if you thought you were going to get married and they were going to be perfect and serve little you, forget it. What? Oh, here's an idea. What if you were put there to serve them? Oh, no! And so one of the first things we need to do is shut up. Go in the back room, shut the door, and pray for them. Because if you're trying to fix them by bashing them in the head, you're actually making the problem worse. You know, it just doesn't work. It doesn't work. So be quiet. Go and pray for them. And keep praying, and just keep your mouth shut. And then what will happen is, after you've prayed it through, what will happen is, God will just orchestrate something, and you're like, how did that even happen? How did that conversation even happen? I wasn't even trying to talk, and it'll just be a gentle flow, and they'll go, oh, I get it now. You know? And that's not just your spouse. My mom didn't want anything to do. She didn't want to hear it. She had grown up in a Mormon church. They were very worksy. And so when I was trying to witness to her, it was like, I don't want to hear this, shut up. And my mom was not someone you mess with. Not a person. If she didn't want to hear it, forget it. And so I just shut up and I would pray for her. And at the oddest times, a conversation would just flow. And I would think, how did that even happen? It would just flow and then we'd go on to something else. It'd be smooth. She'd get it. My mom did end up saved. And she ended up just a few days before she died. I knew she got saved, but she wouldn't talk about it. I felt like she was saved, but I wasn't 100%. A few days before she died, she was laying on the couch, and she heard a hymn from her childhood. And it was so real, she went around to see if the neighbors had music on. Nobody had any music on, and the hymn was, God Will Take Care of You. And she knew she was getting ready to go home. But she told me that, so I knew God was saying, she's okay, she'll be with me. You see? But what I'm saying is, instead of trying to fix each other, let's take the thing to prayer. Because, listen, you can change almost anything through prayer if a person just doesn't have a wicked heart. And there's nobody in here with a wicked heart. I don't believe. But as you pray for them, what you're doing is releasing them from strongholds. Or at least getting the wound. A lot of times people have strongholds because they're wounded. And you yelling at them, all you're doing is stabbing them in the same wound over and over and over and over. And what happens? The strong hold gets stronger hold. Stop it. What Jesus wants to do is heal the wound so the strong hold can be released. Okay? So you need to be part of the healing, not part of the stabbing.
That's really good.
So the Father, you know, I just feel like he's releasing some things in here. Not really preaching tonight, I guess. Hallelujah. I see some burdens, though, being lifted off of people, and God said, you've carried that long enough. Long enough you've carried it. And to someone, he's saying, you tried life your way, why don't you try it my way? You've tried it your way, and it's been hard, hasn't it? He says, but now, why don't you try it my way? Let me lead and guide you. Let me be Lord. Not just Savior, let me be Lord of all. And just see if I won't turn your life around for the better. Amen.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Holly Bailey. You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.